Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here once again to talk about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, episode number 11 after a hiatus for the 4th of July holiday. We are back in a big way to talk about everything that went on in the wild world of 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, and I am back here with Mr. 90 Day Fiancé. Pleasure to be back talking with Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
I am doing delightful, Rob. I'm very excited to be back. The week break might have been needed because I did pretty much enjoy myself watching 90 Day once again this week. It was a good time.
Okay. Puya, how was your time off in between the 90 Day Fiancé podcast?
It's been fun but busy.
Yes.
Because when one show takes a break, another one begins. Big Brother started in full swing, and it's been electrifying. So I've not been able to really take my eyes off of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not complaining. Like, this is a pain pleasure, if that's even a thing. I'm very happy with the pain here.
Real quick, if Frenchie was a 90 Day Fiancé cast member, which one would he be?
He'd probably resemble closest a amalgamation of Mike and Natalie.
Oh my God.
The true monster. The combination. Yeah, that's what I would see.
Yeah. Maybe he could have some of like the delusions of Andre.
The very self-assuredness of Andre.
Yeah.
The absent-mindedness of Jovi. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that.
Yeah. And then basically throw some Charlie in there also as well.
Oh, for good measure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Puya, what story would you like to talk about here? I mean, I think that maybe Tiffany and Ronald again had the most, they had three segments last night.
Yeah, I think since going to South Africa, Tiffany and Ronald have easily taken over the entire spotlight and become the franchise at this point, mm-hmm. which I'm not upset about. They're fine. They're moving the needle. Let's go. I think we go with one of the more light to nothings of the episode. And that's either we go to Angela and Michael or we take a step over to Jovi and Yara. I think we start with Angela and Michael because I think Jovi and Yara might have a little bit more meat on the bone.
Okay. Angela and Michael, they just had the one scene. And boy, these two just cannot get back on the same page no matter what.
Yeah, they're not in a good place at all. At all. It doesn't look like there's no positivity on the horizon with these two.
Yeah. And it looked like that they were going to, you know, I thought they were going to reconcile because I feel like that in the next time on 90 Day Fiancé, it looked like that they were at least like having like a pleasant conversation, but it did not go as smooth at all. And they broke up. And for a married couple, though, you know, I feel like that's an odd phrase to just use. Well, we broke up.
Very casually, as if that's a normal thing we be doing out here. As if it's not one of those things that happens maybe once in a relationship, twice in a relationship, tops. Yeah, they're very relaxed about it. And for me, the part that is just irritating is the way Angela decides what the narrative is and the way she follows the thread. It bothers me so much.
Mm-hmm. How do you mean?
So Angela's whole thing here is that, well, first of all, Michael's trying to contact her, keeps calling Skyla. Skyla's telling Angela, Angela's not going to. But the thing that bothers me most, Rob, is it's as if anytime Michael's name is said, she realizes, oh, I should probably smoke a cigarette now because that's my one time I can get away with doing this and blaming it on Michael. It's like, yeah, this is not a thing. Like, stop making this a thing. This is not the way it goes. It bothers me.
That's good that she's able to sort of just blame him for the fact that she wants to smoke. I wonder, like, if the doctor said, all right, fine, you can smoke now, would that heal the relationship?
It's very possible. It's very possible. Also, when is she going to go for this follow-up procedure? Like 3 years from now? Because she keeps smoking. She keeps resetting the clock.
Honestly, that she should just cancel the operation that she was planning to get the facelift, because it's just like a win-win-win. Then cancel the facelift. Then she's off the hook. She can smoke. Once she can smoke, she's not going to need to have to blame Michael for her smoking. And then, she's not going to have the operation, so Michael will be happy. I kind of feel like that no operation, go back to smoking, I feel like solves most of the problems.
I think that would make her happiest. I do. I will say the other thing that's probably bothering her that she can't handle is that for once in this entire relationship, Michael's not backing down from a fight. Michael is holding his own, because we see them finally get on the call. And this wasn't anything but pretty, obviously. But the one key thing for me, Rob, is that Michael wants some respect, and he's not going to just like let it go this time.
Yeah. And I thought this was particularly ugly with Angela and Michael. And when this season started, you know, the impression that I got from Angela, okay, well, she's like a, you know, jovial, fun loving, you know, troublemaker. But I mean, she comes off as, you know, irredeemable when she yells at Michael on the phone. That, hey, who do you think you're talking to? I'm an American. Don't talk to me like that.
I love this, because this is not the first time Angela whips out the red, white, and blue to justify not being disrespected by Michael. She's like, I'm American. You can't do that. I have freedoms. Like, this is not a thing that you're allowed to do to me, which is like, okay, listen, I'm all for being patriotic.
Yeah.
But Angela, this had nothing to do with the argument. You're bringing this out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, it sounded like to me like a little bit like, hey, you know, I'm better than you. You can't talk to me like that. Do you know who you're talking to? Which, this is, you know, man and wife.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other part of it is, if you think about their visa process, I think she really thinks that she's Michael's meal ticket and that Michael should respect that. Like, well, are you going to really talk back to me? I'm going to be the way you get into the America. Don't you want that? So you should listen to me, which is, first of all, ridiculous. Second of all, insulting. Third of all, disrespectful. Like, all of these things put together, like, it's anyone can see why Michael wants an ounce of respect in return.
And then, she also told him that, like, oh, if my dad was here, he would slap you. My dad would beat your ass. You can't beat anybody's ass, Michael.
I think, so here's my official stance on this. Lou convinced her not to get the divorce. I think she's had a taste of being broken up and doesn't want to go back. And I think that she's going to say and do anything she can to get rid of Michael at this point. Because, Rob, again, Michael kind of let her say and do anything with him. Like, he took all the insults on the chin. She wouldn't let him see these friends. She wouldn't let him go out here, there. She wants to put a tracker on his phone. All Michael said was, talk nice to me. She won't do that. So this relationship should end. And everything she said here was out of line in this phone call. It was getting pretty tough to watch. I'm not gonna lie to you on this one.
Yeah, no, this should end. I don't know why Lou is against this. Well, what's his angle, Puya?
Well, if this ends, I think Lou loses some money. A little bit of the payroll is gone. A little bit of the dent there. And I think, what was his reasoning? That the process would be complicated because they'd have to serve him papers or something?
Yeah.
So
it's already complicated, Lou. I got some news for you.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing, Lou is kind of smart for this. I think Lou fully recognized that Angela's going to be the type to break up, divorce him, and then in 2 weeks be like, let's get back together. And then they have to refile all the paperwork. Like, they'd have to literally start from scratch, get remarried, apply for the visa. And Angela really does seem like she'd be someone who would waver like that. So maybe from that perspective, Lou is saving her. But then, Lou, you'd get more money. So maybe you just push the divorce to happen, Lou. Come on. But
Puya, I feel like that this has been at least like a month on the show. We're in this holding pattern of them just yelling on FaceTime.
They've had nothing. They've had nothing for these two for the last month. It literally, I feel like once the surgery happened, it's just been, the storyline's been, Michael's the worst. He's not calling me. He doesn't care. And then now Angela's the worst because every time Michael calls, she hurls insults at him. And they went from being the stars of the first part of the show to really now being the filler. They're just there.
I think the show opened with them.
They did. They were the biggest people there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This relationship in this story might be broken.
I think that's fair to assume. Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
We'll see. But somehow, it seems like that they are going to ultimately end up like back on the same page.
How so?
I mean, based on that, it looks like in the previews for the rest of the season, it seems like that there's stuff where that they are like back to being on good terms.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to separate. I think ultimately these are two. This couple will fight through it. If not Angela, Michael, for sure. I think Michael's been very clear where he doesn't want to give up on this marriage. He wants some respect, but I think ultimately if he has to sacrifice that to keep the marriage afloat, he will. So I can't. And I mean, the next time on, we see them attempting to fix everything. I think I couldn't tell who was on the line with them. Was it like a tarot card reader person or a psychic?
Yeah.
I couldn't fully tell you who this was, but there's some counseling going on. So I'm excited to see that play out.
Yeah. I think Angela has her own psychic. I think that most of the 90 Day Fiancé superstars do have that person in their address book.
Listen, it's not a bad thing to have in your arsenal. Who was it last season that had one?
Stephanie,
that's the one.
Maria the psychic.
Yeah.
I mean, there should be just like one psychic that like talks to all of the different couples.
Yes, I think that would be better because then we could track their track record as well and see how they're doing across the season. But this way we got to kind of go hit or miss, see if they're any good or not.
And the psychic is actually just a producer and tells them whatever would be best for the show.
As it should be, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, give us the best possible results for more mess. I think that's the recipe you need. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hear the psychic accurately tell me what problems they have. No, tell me what makes it worse to make something happen here.
Okay. All right. Puya, you want to talk about Jovi and Yara?
Might as well. Let's go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Or not New Orleans.
Just outside of New Orleans?
I think so. Somewhere.
Okay. So Yara is going to go with Gwen and with Monty to go pick up Jovi from the airport. Yara is excited. Mila is excited, right? That's the baby's name?
Mila.
Mila is excited. And everybody's excited to see Jovi. He manages to get off the plane, not with a rum and coke or a Jack and Coke in his hand somehow, even though it's the morning. He's growing.
He's improved. Yeah. Look at him.
Look at our Jovi. Yeah. Do you think it was touching when Monty talked about how he knows what it's like to like really like we really went like all in on like sentimental Monty?
Yeah, I don't know if I really bought the sentimenty. I feel like it was cute. They tried to make us feel like, oh, what a hard life they lead. But I was also like, but it sounds like you have fun on this boat. Like, you're broing out. It feels like you like it enough that you're willing to not take any other job but this. So you must like the arrangement.
Yeah. And you got your son the same job that you have.
Yeah. You're like, oh, we live such, you know, it's like, I can sympathize with you being sad that you're missing your kids growing up, but also, and not specifically Monty, but with Jovi, Yara said, listen, find something else. And he's like, I'm good. So
I can't.
He seems to be okay with it.
Yeah. Okay. So they're going to go and bring Jovi to go to this apartment, and he's never seen it. And he wanted to stay in New Orleans, but Yara hates New Orleans. Somebody threw up on her shoes one time. She does not want to be in the city. But it does seem to me, Puya, it's not so much that she doesn't like the city. It's that, okay, I need to get as far away from the bars as possible, because that is the only way to, you know, save this marriage.
Yes, I think you've hit the nail on the head, because when we saw the apartment, this didn't look like that much bigger than the other place. It didn't look like, it didn't like, you know, knock my socks off. I do think the location, it's a combination of she likes the more peace and quiet of it all. And I think she thinks with New Orleans, like party life and how, like, you know, the downtown was, I think she doesn't want that for herself and then really doesn't want that for Jovi. So by pulling Jovi all the way away, he's not going to be able to go, because I think, didn't we, if we recall, he literally only took Uber. So I don't think he drives anyway. So she's like, if the Uber fare is like over like $80, I think he might be hesitant to leave the house. So maybe that'll work.
Yeah. So they bring him out there to the apartment. And again, the apartment is fine. He was complaining about, hey, where was where's my couch? And she said, oh, you mean the couch the strippers were on that has dirt and disease? Yeah, I had to get rid of it. So seemed like that was a sore subject.
Yeah, it was very shady. It was the correct amount of shade. She was like, I'm not keeping this. I don't trust where your couch has been, sir. Mm-hmm. We're getting rid of it. And we're getting this new couch. Which, what are your thoughts on white couches, Rob? Because I feel like,
oh,
you're really asking for this to get stained instantly.
Yeah. Yes. Well, great question, Puya.
Thank you.
I think that it's insane to have a white couch and a baby. And
right?
I'm currently in the middle of having this conversation with the First Lady of Podcasting. We have moved. We don't really own any furniture right now. And she'll say to me, hey, what do you think about this couch? I like a white couch. I'm like, what planet are you living on that we have two disgusting kids that make messes and get crumbs everywhere and ruin everything that they touch? She's like, but, well, look, I want to have a white couch. Like, well, what? Maybe if it was just us, maybe when the boys like move out. Are you crazy?
Even then, I just feel like, could you imagine how bad your coffee drinking experience is if you spill a little bit on that couch? You have to put the
coffee aside. Who wants to live like that?
Yeah, I don't want to live on the edge like that. No.
Yeah.
It'd be too much.
Yeah. You know. That's a real hot button issue for me, Puya.
I mean, I can tell, but listen, I'm on your team. I'm on your team on this, because anything that makes me have to feel like I'm on alert when I'm supposed to be relaxed, I'm out on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Jovi is not happy with the location, most of all, that he says that they're in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, I don't know if they were in the middle of a forest per se. That seemed a little exaggerative to me. There was some greenery from the view we saw on the balcony, which is nice. But essentially, to me, this screamed they've moved away from downtown. They're about a 30-minute drive from downtown, closer to the suburbs. That's kind of the vibe I got.
And Jovi is basically like, well, I thought we were going to have like a 10-minute drive to go to the city and go to the bars, but I don't even know where we are, so this really stinks. And so, you know, I don't really like this. So Jovi is out on the new apartment.
I'm not surprised. I think what's interesting with the job he's taken, Rob, is that it almost feels like where he is, he, like, his work is at Neverland, because Nothing changes. No one's aging. Like when he comes back, he fully expects everything to be the way it was when he left it. Like his lifestyle, his mentality, his wife, Myla. But the truth is, Myla's growing up. You know, Yara's been living with this child alone for how many months? The world has moved. You have to grow with it. So for him to be like, I need
Yara
the bar.
Has moved.
Like, well, you said you. I believe you had your goodbye tour with the lads that one night at the bars and then the strip club. Like, didn't you already say goodbye?
Mm-hmm.
How many goodbyes can you get?
Yeah. Now he's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Jovi. And
yeah, he needs to calm down.
Yeah. What does he need to do? How much does he need to go out?
I don't understand. Like, she said they joked about there being one restaurant and one bar. That is fine. Like, you have, why not make that one bar your bar? You know, that's good. Mm-hmm. What I did think with Yara, I was like, was the 6 p.m. curfew. That I was like, okay, I'd have a tough time with the 6 p.m. curfew.
Yeah, not what's the 6 p.m. curfew in the town?
Jovi joked about, well, what time does the restaurant close at? 6? She was like, well, yeah, that's about as long as we need to be out. So then we'd be back home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I can't do 6. She was like, well, that's the time. That's when we need to be home at 6. Myla needs to be home at 6. So that is the curfew that's been implemented. I know I just complained about it, but then upon further reflection, I'm not really out past 6 ever.
Mm-hmm.
So my life would not really change if I had this curfew per se.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's they're going to have a tough time, or Jovi's going to have a tough time. Now, Rob, this is the only next time on this season watch that I want to have is, did you see anything in this episode with these two that will make you understand why inevitably we're going to end up with Jovi and Yara at a strip club together?
I suspect the way that they'll frame it is that, you know, we've been here in the forest and we haven't been out. And so as a way to do something nice for Jovi, we planned, you know, this night out for him where we're going to like let him show me like what he used to do at his old haunts.
If you're Jovi, isn't this the worst? That why would you agree to do this? This feels like a trap.
This man went on the 90-day tells all and put on a lie detector.
That's true. That's true. And he lied. And then he laughed when he got caught. Yeah. You know what? That's my bad for trying to understand Jovi. Quite frankly, that's my. And again, I'm also surprised Yara agrees to the like. If Jovi says strip club, I would imagine Yara would say, no, we're going to a bar max. But then Yara went with it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I told you my theory is that a producer really like talks them into it. They're like, oh, come on. It'll be really good for the show. Come on.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. I think that makes sense. And I think this combination of they both play chicken of who is going to tap out first. She's like, I'm fine. I'm cool with this. And he's like, oh, I wonder if I can do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, where else could we go?
Because in the same way that somehow the 90 Day Fiancé producers get Hazel to go on a call with Minty and say like, hey, but then you could get to see like, how is Tariq going to be on the call with Minty? And then Hazel's like, yeah, I guess so. Let me see. This will be a test. Maybe they're saying to Yara, like, but like, let's just say, like, look, you're right there. You could see how Jovi is. And, you know, then, you know, if you don't like what he's doing, then you get to nail his ass to the wall.
Yeah, I miss Tariq and Hazel. Mm-hmm. I really do. They would have been great on here instead of Mike and Natalie, but I digress.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Yara and Jovi. Do you want to talk about Mike and Natalie?
You know what? That's the best way to segue. Let's
do it. Because this was wild. A wild start opening to the episode. Like a real like cold open. Like this was an episode of Breaking Bad. Of Mike can't find Natalie. It's the day of the surgery. She got mad about something, went to Juliana's house. She's ghosting him, can't find her anywhere. So he's driving around in an Uber to find Big Blue his car, and then he found it in the parking lot. Apparently, she drove it there. He takes the keys and steals it back from her and drives away.
Yeah. So Mike was so insulted that Natalie went to the appointment herself without him and didn't answer his calls, that he took the car in revenge and was like, she can find her own way to squim. I'm out of here. And it all happens because, so it's the day of the surgery. The night before, Natalie's request was, can we go to Seattle and just stay at a hotel before the surgery, which I guess Mike agreed to. But then they had a fight at the hotel about Oklahoma again. Listen, you go to Trisha's house for Thanksgiving one time, and you're never going to hear the end. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a problem. It sticks with you, the nightmares. It really does. So they argue about this. And then she storms off, goes to Juliana's house and takes Big Blue by the sounds of it. And then just goes to the appointment without him. And he gets mad and he takes the car and he leaves, which is a very weird revenge kick from him. Mm-hmm.
Stole his car back.
Yeah, I feel like. So I was trying to think, like, let's say me and Liana are in this situation. And Liana's like, you know what? It's better for me if you're not there. I don't need your help. I'm just going to go to the surgery. I'd be like, okay. And I just pull up and wait for her once she's done the surgery. I wouldn't get mad at it. I don't know. I say I was confused, but also it's Mike and Natalie, and they're not like me and Liana. We're normal.
Yeah. I think it was just like, okay, well, you're going to take my car and not tell me where you're going. Well, I'm going to take the car, and then you're going to get out of surgery. But really, that would be a very bad look for Mike when Natalie comes out of surgery, all bandaged up with no ride, no car. I mean, she was going to, I don't think you're supposed to drive yourself home from a surgery.
No. There's no world where she was going to drive herself. I'm assuming she would have expected Mike to be there. So,
yeah.
No, any surgery like that, you're not supposed to. And like, I don't, if he's like, she can find her own right to squim, I'm assuming this is a different city. So that Uber ride would have been fat. Glad that didn't happen.
And then we got a little bit more background on Natalie's surgery, that she has polyps in her nose.
Yeah, what are polyps?
I think that those are like sort of like growths.
Oh, yeah, tissue growths on a mucous membrane.
Yeah. And I guess that was blocking her ability to smell. And then when she came out, she finally is able to, she gets a sense of smell back. But we did see last season that she did talk about how Mike's closet smelled.
That is true. She did shade the closet. Mm-hmm. Could this be, it got worse since she moved, or it's selective? Which one do you think is more likely?
I mean, or it could have been a condition that worsened, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what was going on, but there, we were speculating, or at least I was, that this could be that she was going in for some sort of a cosmetic procedure, but it doesn't sound like this is medical in nature for what she was dealing with. And so that she comes out, none the wiser that Mike stole the car and then came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. The footage is the only thing that'll give it away. For all she knows, Mike stood there the whole day waiting for her.
Yeah.
He's so nice.
Okay. And so, I mean, that Mike was like being like the good soldier here and was being like pretty like receptive to her needs.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we think of, you know, Mike when we see him. He's the nice one. He's very good.
Sure. And so Natalie is very hungry that Mike wants to put her to bed, but she has a request of, can you boil the potatoes for me?
Yeah, she wants boiled potatoes with, what was it, pickle, salt, onion. Maybe.
I think there was cheese also.
Cheese.
And mushrooms. Yeah. And mushrooms.
Oh, mushrooms. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a wild recipe.
Yeah. I couldn't decide if these items were being boiled with the potato or they were going to be served on the side of the boiled potato. because I couldn't figure it out. I was like, you're not boiling a pickle, are you? I just didn't think that was going to happen. Don't know.
Yeah, it was like a very specific thing. I guess, I mean, it's not that crazy that it's some sort of like, I guess, like an au gratin potatoes. But, you know, the like then it was like with a side of like 9 pickles.
Yeah, well, let's not forget, she's living with the carnivore that is Mike as a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So there the pickings must be slim on stuff to eat that she would want based on the way Mike buys stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking up Ukrainian recipes for a boiled potato.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like what was described. They're boiled. There's a little bit of herbs on them. There's onion, vegetable mm-hmm. oil. There's dill. No sign of mushroom or pickle. That might just be a
dill pickle.
Thing. Oh, there you go. That's the dill. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It looks fine. Looks good.
Okay. So, I mean, this was actually one of the better episodes for Mike and Natalie for the whole season.
Yeah. And we say better. We really mean that there was a lot less tension.
Yeah.
But there was still tension. Like, you could tell it was brewing up and it's going to get annoying again next week based on the next time.
Well, Mike was, like, worked up at the very end. It was like, okay, well, this is, I guess he's, like, waiting on her. This is kind of sweet. And then he just, like, then was, like, venting at the end of this.
Yeah. Like, he feels wronged and he's annoyed that she only wants help when it's convenient to her. It's like, yeah, welcome to someone who just had surgery. If you agree to take care of them, you're taking care of them on their watch, on their
not
clock.
For anything though, Puya. Like, I only want help when it's convenient for me also. Like, I don't want help when it's inconvenient for me. That's not help.
That's not help. That's hindrance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's literally the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I think Mike wants the opportunity to like be the savior. And I think by Natalie taking those moments away from him, he's feeling irritated because he's also allowed this whole she went to the surgery without me thing to stew and become a bigger deal than it needs to be. So he's making his own boiled potatoes by stewing in this, and it's gonna reach ahead next episode.
Don't forget the pickles. That they tend to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. The big pickle. Yeah.
We're going to come right back and talk about Andre and Elizabeth here on 90 Day of Fiancé with Puya. But first, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. And as we are beginning to see the light at the end of the COVID tunnel, a lot of people are still feeling down and emotionally out of sorts. You may not feel depressed or at a total loss, but if you're feeling a little bit off or your relationships are suffering, that should be a sign that you should talk to somebody. And whether you're feeling anxious or you're struggling in your career or you're having trouble sleeping, online therapy can help. Visit betterhelp.com/RJP and fill out a questionnaire to help BetterHelp assess your needs and match you with a professional, licensed therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours via secure weekly video, phone, or even live chat sessions with your therapist. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if you need a better fit. Online therapy is convenient and more affordable than in-person therapy, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/RHAP. That's better, HELP.com/RHAP. Also, support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Should we talk about Andre and Elizabeth?
They are your favorites.
Yes.
I'm keen to hear what you have.
This was a wild week for the Andre and Elizabeth of it all. It really was. And the RV trip is never ending.
So many weeks
in the RV.
Do people cross the Oregon Trail faster? Like, this is brutal. We've been just sitting in this RV for episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting any joy out of this anymore. We got all the joy the last time when he pulled Becky off the RV to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
I could have moved on from there.
Okay. So they're going to go somehow. They're going to stop for another Airbnb here on this trip. Apuya, where are they driving from California to Maryland?
Oh, no, because we did the math.
Like, weren't they coming up from Florida?
Mm-hmm. They were coming up from Florida. Like, this,
I mean, this is the second night that they're stopping on this trip.
Yeah, it sounds
like even 3 hours a day.
Are they sightseeing on the way? Like, is this a full on road trip?
I don't know.
I thought it was just supposed to be a drive.
I mean, this is like a max, like what, like a 10-hour trip that they were making?
Yeah. Yeah. Which you'd imagine they'd cut into two drives of five, meaning even then they should still arrive the second day. There shouldn't be a second day sleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was. There was. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Elizabeth booked an Airbnb in Washington, D.C., but they're on a street that's very narrow, and apparently there's no parking, and I don't even think you can park an RV in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so this, we're chalking it up to, I think, misadvertisement, because she books the place, says she talked to the guy and said, hey, we have an RV. First thing she checked, we have an RV. And the guy said, we have room for parking. You're set. Doesn't look like that's to be the case. Mm-hmm. So to me, when this happens, like, oh, that sucks. But again, not a big deal. What can you do? They misinformed us. It's fine. Not with this family, though. This family, this is the biggest thing that's ever happened in this family,
mm-hmm.
by the way it looked.
Yeah. So Andre just is like, that's it. I'm getting the F out of here, and drives away, and enter the brother-in-law. The brother-in-law is married to Becky.
I think that was Becky's man's.
Yes.
I
okay.
So.
And like, he is out of nowhere, very surprisingly, an ally of Andre. In these matters,
we've covered what, about a season and a half of 90 Day Together, Rob.
Yeah.
This is the most shocking thing that's happened in this show.
Yeah,
straight up.
I think this guy, his perspective is, I just want to get off this RV, and I don't care about Airbnb. I'm not paying for any of this. I don't care. Just get me off this RV and get me in a hotel, and let's just move on. This trip has been the biggest mistake of my life. I can't wait for this to be over. Let's just move on from this.
Yeah, again, who would have thought that the smartest person in this family was the dummy that is Charlie, who flew to to Maryland instead mm-hmm. of taking this RV trip? Like, he really saved himself. I do think that I don't have his name down. What's his name, Rob? Do you have his name?
The brother-in-law? No.
Yeah, the brother-in-law. Okay, well, we'll just call him the brother-in-law. The fact that the brother-in-law came to Andre's defense was surprising to me, but I also found myself, I think, here's the thing, I tend to side with Andre quite a bit when he's against this family, but he does himself no favors by the way he delivers stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm on Andre's team, and then he's like cussing her out over this. I'm like, well, that's not necessary. Because mm-hmm. I can see that Libby didn't know that there was not going to be parking. Why would she book it if she knew? That makes no sense. I just think everyone's on such high tension, and all the brother-in-law wants is to sleep. And he's like, okay, well, if that means we can't stay here, that means we have to leave. There's no choice. But then obviously the family, Libby, are all arguing over, well, we don't want to go back in the RV. We don't want to. It's like, well, you can't sleep here. Like, where do you want to? You have to get in the RV. The sooner mm-hmm. you do, 45 minutes out, you're fine. When we found out that they were complaining that they're going to be in the RV for another hour, I just thought that's the most ridiculous thing to be upset about. An hour does not seem like that much time to me.
Doesn't seem like that much time.
RV all day.
And but, also, yeah. Like, what do you want him to do? Like, he's like, there's no place to park this RV. It's not his fault. Like, you know, and I thought he was probably too hard on Elizabeth also, then forbids her from being able to make arrangements anymore. But, you know, for everybody else, you're just being unreasonable.
Yeah. I feel bad for the kids.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I feel like I remember moments as a kid where I'm like, oh, these people are, you know, they're turning up their voices on each other. This is awkward. Imagine the whole family just yelling at each other at like 1 a.m. in a parking lot. So we're not in a barn, like a plot of land somewhere about where to go. As like that seems like trauma. And like this kid, and like this kid just hearing Andre yell at it, like the mother, right? It's that all of that just to me is like red zone. Like don't do that. Don't do that. I just can't believe they're so willingly doing this. But to me, Rob, I've said this before, I'll say it again. This family wants a spinoff so bad. So bad that they're willing to find anything to argue about.
Oh, they're going to have a lot to argue about here. Andre and the brother-in-law, like, then they bond over some talk about how, hey, don't let the women do a man's job, right? Which I don't know what was the man's job that the women were doing, like booking Airbnbs? What was the man's job that the women don't leave the women to do it?
Are those alpha things? Are those machismo thing? I don't know. Mm-hmm. These outdated rules and regulations to this nonsense. I can't. Good for them for bonding, but boy, did they like bend over backwards to find material to bond over here. Like it really was a reach and a half.
Okay. They finally, after staying at the hotel, they get back on the road and we meet Aunt Sue, another character in the Andre and Elizabeth Chuck family circus.
Yeah, Aunt Sue. What did you think of Aunt Sue here with the welcome wagon?
No, Aunt Sue is terrible. She comes in and, she's like the classic, like 90 Day Fiance family member of like, you know, I don't like Chuck. I've heard some things about him. I don't like Andre. He's just trying to take all of Chuck's money.
Yeah, I don't know what his motives are. I mean, they can't say the green card thing anymore because he's fine now. He's here. He's been on the green card for the last couple of years. So what's the next thing? He's trying to swindle the money, which... Again, this family more than almost any other, if any other couple on the show said this, I'd be like, okay, a little bit fair to you. But the entire family leeches off of Chuck. Every single kid leeches off of Chuck. And this is one of the kids' spouses. Of course, that money's going to go again to the daughter and the granddaughter. So what is the issue here? I don't get it. You're keeping it in the family anyway.
Yeah.
Relax.
So Aunt Sue tells us about all of her reservations about Andre. Andre, I thought, had a pretty good burn of Charlie in the confessional. He told Elizabeth that he was looking forward to meeting Elizabeth's family so he could know where does all of Charlie's stupidity come from, the mom's side or the dad's side?
I love when Andre dunks on people, especially Charlie. Andre's someone who would thrive on Big Brother Twitter. Like he would just, if he watched feeds, it'd be over for everybody. It'd be such a good follow.
But until he inevitably like says something himself to just get canceled of like, it might be funny for like the first two or three tweets, but you know, that he's not nuanced enough to be able to keep it going.
Yeah, no. He would get blocked relatively quickly, be a follow, like, two retweets, and then a block. But those two retweets would hit very well, in my opinion.
Now, do we know where is the Elizabeth's mother?
I tried thinking about that when he mentions, like, where did he get his stupidity from? I don't recall.
No. Is she just in the picture but not around? Are they separated? Has she passed on?
Oh my God. This, feel free, 90 Day historians who are listening to fact check. Wasn't she there at that meeting they had at the beginning of the season, or am I making that up?
And she missed the RV trip.
Hey, she might have had something else come up. She might have. You know what? There's an article about the mom.
Yes.
Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
All right. Let's see. After her mother's controversial views were shared to Reddit, though many viewers dislike Libby, her husband Andre, and her dramatic family, fans don't think it's fair to hold Libby accountable for her mother's words or actions. What did the mother say?
Oh boy.
Okay, so she's around. Let's see. Rainbow, a promise of I think it's anti-pride based on what I'm seeing here. Oh, it's very religious views. potentially.
Did this come up on the show or on social media?
No, no, no. This is on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So she's around. She's around. She's mm-hmm. around. Very rooted in religion and frequently shares posts to make her faith known to her followers. Though she said she does not fear what people think, Pamela did turn off the comments after sharing her post about the rainbow. Okay. So she's around. Maybe it was the situation of, well, this isn't my family, so I don't have to be there, and didn't show up.
Is it possible the producers say, hey, we're not about that, Pamela?
Yeah, I think the producers were like, we're not going to give this a platform. How about mm-hmm. that? How about okay. we good?
Not a bad call.
I'm okay with that decision as well.
Okay, because we don't even need Pamela, because we got so much other drama going on this show, because Aunt Sue talks about, hey, Chuck, how's the business? Which, this is such a setup, Aunt Sue. Come on. Come on. You knew how this was going to go.
Mm-hmm. Aunt Sue might be hateful, but she's no dum-dum. Mm-hmm. She's no dum-dum. Yeah.
And guess who's ready to spill the tea? It's Charlie. And talks about how, here's Andre. Oh, Aunt Sue, listen to this. This guy was sitting on his ass for 3 years and then asked Dad for $100,000, which is so rude.
Oh, yeah. Imagine, like, this guy, your sister's spouse is trying to make a good impression with the rest of the extended family, and you immediately throw this out there. Like a grand old statement that he can't defend, that he has to now deal with. I didn't love this from him at all, but I don't love anything he really says.
Mm-hmm.
I will say him getting on his high horse, talking about how Andre sat there for 3 years, did nothing while other people go for the American dream. And his big American dream is, yeah, I run the same business my dad does. Or he tells me I'm a co-partner, but I just get paid from dad. So I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh my, you cannot seriously be on this high horse right now.
Yeah, everybody was really hypocritical about the whole situation. You know, because Aunt Sue talks about how, oh, Chuck, he's such a great guy. And Chuck went down to Florida to take care of his mom and had nothing and then built this business up from nothing. But Chuck himself seems to say, hey, Dad, Pop, I couldn't have done this if you didn't loan me money to get the business mm-hmm. started. And then it's like, okay, well, you sort of see, okay, well, maybe Andre's not so crazy to ask Chuck for some money to get this thing started. But then Pop comes back and like kind of says the opposite of that and says, hey, when you start a business, you should go to, like, you should need to come in with like the capital to start the business, or you're not bringing anything to the business. But what, like, how many people are doing that? What is Andre like some investor in Chuck's business?
I think the biggest takeaway for me and the biggest lesson here, Andre said a number too big. If Andre had said a number with one less zero on it, they might have let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
They might have been like, okay, that 100K obviously is a big ask,
yeah,
no matter what you've been doing. But then in their eyes, if he's done nothing, he literally went zero to 100,000 real quick. And they're mm-hmm. like, no. If he went to 10K, 15K, 20K, that works. And then if he's like, listen, this is just seed money for me to start the business, and then I'll like reimburse. It wasn't like that. Like, we know how Andre talks. So for us, when he's like, you will give me 100, I'll be the CEO, I'll get the money back in 2 years guarantee with 50% profit, with no like books to prove it, right? But also, they're just out for blood with this guy. It's a mess. This family is a mess. This family is more messy than boiled potatoes. Like, they really are all over the place.
But I feel like that maybe Andre was like, okay, I will ask Chuck for 100K, and then he'll say, that's too much, I'll give you 50K, and that's really all I need anyway.
Well, and if that was his plan, that's a good plan. But what he didn't think of, which he should have, is that this family will hear 100K and ignore anything else that comes up after that.
Yeah. But I thought this was really horrible, just how they're airing out all of this dirty laundry in front of Aunt Sue and Pop. And then Aunt Sue, you know, she doesn't think that Chuck should be in the business. Aunt Sue, who asked you?
Yeah. This is not your concern. Be happy your family's here for the old reunion. Why are you concerned about this?
Well, we almost got a fist fight right in Aunt Sue's kitchen of that. Charlie is calling out Andre, and Andre says basically he's going to beat his ass to Charlie. And then Charlie's like, well, I'm not going to fight you here. I'm not going to disrespect you. And Andre says, don't go soft on me now, Charlie.
It's so tough. I picture myself being the Andre in that I'll be in front of like my partner's whole family. I could never talk like this. This is like, because like you have no one to back you there. How are you doing this? It's so uncomfortable. And but the other thing to me is then, Charlie, you're around your family. You're really making a whole ass of yourself. How are you two grown men doing this again and again and again? It's just be adults in 2021. You know, make a boxing event, go in the ring, go six rounds, make your money like everyone else is doing at this point, and move on.
Yeah. Charlie versus Andre on pay-per-view. Are people watching? People pay for that?
It's 90-day franchise. The people will put money on this. Yeah. For sure.
Could you build out the rest of the card for the 90-day fiance boxing match?
Yes. So you have not met her yet. We haven't talked about Kalani and Asuelu yet, but Asuelu's sister Tammy versus Kalani's sister Colini should be in the card.
Okay.
For sure. You put that on the card.
Minty versus Hazel.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Great choice. Mm-hmm. Minty versus Hazel is a good one. What's it called? Well, the other ones might just be exhibitions. Like there's no beef, but we'll do it because it'll be, you know, intriguing. Give me Jovi versus Brandon. I think that would be very funny. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good one. Big Ed. Who would Big Ed take? Big Ed has to be on this card. Who's he taking?
I don't know. Does he have a rival?
I mean, I think a lot of people would do anything to go toe-to-toe with him. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean,
in that regard, anyway.
It's not easy to go toe-to-toe with Big Ed.
Yeah. Big Ed, big problem. You know what? Give me Zed. Zed versus Big Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Battle of the Eds.
Okay. Chuck has to finally say, hey, come on, everybody. Guys, you're disrespecting my sister and my dad. Everybody. And Aunt Sue then says, like, Andre, you need to calm down. Come on, Aunt Sue.
Yeah, I didn't like the way Aunt Sue said that. Like, that would make me calm down less if someone said that to me that way. And I don't like the implication that Andre's the only one out of line here.
Charlie, like, started it.
Literally. Charlie provoked.
Like, hey, everybody, guess what?
This family, Rob, they have this cycle, right? Where escalation happens, fight happens, it's brewing. And then Chuck steps in and does the same thing every time.
Every week. Guys,
put this aside.
Yeah, he's like the Mr. Belding of like, guys, come on. No running in the hallways. Zach,
but then
give me that phone. What did I say?
There's no resolve, though. That's the problem. It's like Mr. Belding with no, like, you know, big speech at the end to bring us all home and make everyone get along again. It's kind of like just a soft snooze button.
I'm going to see you all in detention if you keep this up. That's not what this school is about. Come on. Like, all right, we're sorry. But it was his fault. It wasn't me. No, nothing changes.
Nothing. It's the same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Elizabeth is feeling like Charlie's trying to sabotage Andre. Do you think that that's what's going on here? That Andre is, or Charlie's trying to bait Andre?
Yes. I think from the minute Chuck decided to get in bed with Andre, all the siblings want to do something to make Chuck see that Andre is no good for the business, and they'll do whatever it takes. I straight up think that Charlie wants to get punched by Andre so that he can be like, see, he punched me. Do you want this guy in our business now?
He's very easy to provoke, Andre. He's a hothead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take much. And Charlie makes it a lot easier by being the shady person that he is.
Okay.
So.
All right. Anything else on Elizabeth and Andre and Chuck?
I mean, the less we say, Jen, the better.
Becky.
It's more of the same next week. So just be prepared, folks. Andre and Libby tour continues in full swing. But yeah, that's it. That's it. We can move on to Rob. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go to South Africa?
Oh, well, I mean, we've come so far. So let's leave the Tiffany and Ronald for the last. Let's talk about Brandon and Julia, and then we could do Kehlani and Asuelu. So, yeah, Brandon and Julia are driving around. They've got an apartment. It must be, getting a little cold. Brandon and Julia have on winter jackets.
Yeah, they're rocking the winter gear at the moment. It seems like everyone's moving towards the December timeline.
Yeah.
It feels like they're trying to make it seem like it's Christmas time all over the map. So it's getting cold. They're coated up. And here's the thing. So they're meeting up with Ron and Betty.
Yes.
To see this apartment. What Ron and Betty do not know is that they've already signed this apartment. And they have a place now. They finally are going to leave the farm in a couple of weeks. But the reason they didn't tell Ron and Betty is that they had a little bit of problems with Ron and Betty. Every time they tried to talk about moving out, Ron and Betty freaked out on them. So they're deciding the best way to do this, Brandon style, Rob. And that's blindside them.
Blindside. And you can understand why they wouldn't want to tell Ron and Betty, because they are total haters.
Yep.
And just total jerks about everything, because they bring them up to go see the apartment, and Ron and Betty just look around like, oh, it's not much of a view, is it? Oh boy. Oh, this room is kind of small, isn't it now? Oh, glad I don't live here. I mean, it's pretty small compared to 10 acres, wouldn't you say, Ron?
Can you even fit a bed and dresser in here? I don't think so.
Look at this kitchen. I mean, is there even room for a garbage can full of crickets? And what is with this bedroom? Are there hardly any paint cans over here, Ron? Can you believe it?
Where will you put all your clutter?
Yeah. Oh, there's no fire escape on the 6th floor. Oh, I guess you're probably going to burn to death in here. I could have stayed at the farm and been fine. Ron and Betty. Now, I'm not inviting them to my house.
No.
For a couple of reasons.
The two of them and Jovi all raiding houses be a hot mess. This did make it sweet, though, Rob. Knowing that they didn't know and they're doing their best to talk this place down. And then the smile on Julia's face when she knew they were about to throw the bomb on them. Very happy about that. Very happy about that.
Until this point, we didn't get to see anything else with what's going on with Julia's workout job.
I know. They put it in the previously on, which made me believe we're going to hear about that a little bit. But nothing. Nothing, sadly. So we'll see if she's going to do, because she has to get certified, right? That was the next move for her before she can work there. So we'll see if she gets that done.
Okay. We'll see. Got to think Julia's got to be able to find something. A lot of places are hiring, Puya. So I got to think that Julia can find something.
Yeah, well, I think Julia, similarly to what Natalie has said before, wants her top choice over just any job at the moment. So that's why the dance thing, it's something she's done before. She wants that. But we'll see if her and Brandon have a talk at some point and he says, listen, any job will do. We need the two salaries. So let's get that done. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what comes up next for them. I was actually kind of sad that we didn't get much from them this episode. And honestly, Rob, by the looks of the next time on, I don't think we're seeing them next week.
Yeah.
We have nothing for these two.
Not a lot going on there until Julia gets working at Crunch.
Was that the name of the
I think I'm pretty sure that's the name of the gym.
Crunch.
I think it's a chain. I think it's a chain.
Oh, I did not know that.
All right. Well, let's talk about
fitness.
Kehlani and Asuelu, because they had a kind of a wild episode.
They really did. Yeah.
So adventure. We knew about Asuelo had been in the car accident. He was driving and that he got into a car accident. His car was totaled. They need to get a new car. They're on the used car lot. And so everybody is saying to Asuelo, hey, you're doing rideshare? You want, come check out our Honda Civics over here. Hold on. Is that a giant minivan over there?
That looks good. I want the minivan. I think the minivan's my top choice now. Interesting. Because obviously, you know, well, let's talk rideshare for a second.
Yeah.
Minivan can, you know, you can, if you're on Uber, you can be Uber XLing. That's more than what, four people in a
car?
That's nice, but also that's not a lot compared to the mileage and the gas usage is going to be a lot more. So you want that hybrid life. But Rob, we find out that the whole rideshare thing isn't the priority criteria here for Osweiler now, is it?
He has ulterior motives. And it turns out that he explains to the nice man on the used car lot, well, it's also that the minivan will be good because we want to have more babies. We're going to have another baby.
A big trope on 90 Day is 90 Day couples blurting very private information out in public to people who do not
salespeople. Know yeah.
Yeah. And making them super uncomfortable. Because this guy really was trying to sell one of the hybrids to Asuelo, and Asuelo stonewalled him and said, I'm not interested, man. I don't think so. It's going to be this minivan. Yeah. And then when he tells him that, we're thinking of having another baby, the salesman really awkwardly pauses and then looks at him and says, this is great for a family. A minivan's what you want for a family. It was very, very weird.
So we see in confessional, Kehlani tries to talk Asuelo into not having another baby right away don't you miss the boobs?
Yeah. The boobs have not been with you for a minute. And he.
You would not have to share access, Asuelo.
And we know this is a big deal to Asuelo. He's talked about this before. So we know that this is a big thing to him.
Yeah. And he wants 7 kids.
Rob, I wanted to ask you as the parent on the panel.
Yes, yes.
How many times or have you ever thought of wanting 7 kids?
Oh, I have never thought about wanting 7 kids. We have talked about should we have a third kid? And then we think about it for a minute and then very quickly say, no, you know, 2's fine. 2's fine. More than enough. But that's not how Asuelo feels. Although I will say that I don't think I had noticed the kids before this episode, because I feel like that I've heard them talk about, you know, that like they have a newborn. But the kids are not like babies. Like I was under the impression that they had like a newborn baby.
Yeah, I think the kids are, I don't know their exact ages, but I think the one that's a baby is probably closer to 2 years old than like 6 months old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be a little.
That was a little surprising to me to see the kids' ages being that, you know, they talk about like how much care they need.
Yeah, because I mean, it's young enough that they needed Kalani's mom to come with them to the retreat in Zion, right? So they still needed help there. But it sounds like they're getting to the age where Kalani can start breathing once again, and this is where Asuelo wants baby number 3 to happen. And in the confessional, we get into a good conversation about how it's her body, her choice whether they have a kid or not. And Asuelo, you know, bless his soul, really tries to go the romantic route with the explanation of, well, when we get married, you know, two bodies become one body. It's our body now.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, and my favorite line of the episode, Rob, was her being like, well, are you going to push a baby out of your vagina? And he's like, I would if I could. It's like, okay, Asuelu. No, mm-hmm. you wouldn't.
Yeah. That would be an interesting, like, call if she could call that bluff.
I know.
It's like, well, they just developed the technology, Asuelu, that you can now, you can carry the baby. It's like, I didn't mean seriously.
That technology would change the world forever because there would be so many men getting mm-hmm. off of their high horse and you know, tapping out. Be like, nope, you caught me. I was never going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, now you know.
All right, you got me. I was bluffing. Yeah. I had nothing. I had
no more kids.
Yeah. Okay. But then we go later on in the episode. We see Asuelu practicing his Samoan dancing and then has the mom on FaceTime. And then we get a little bit of a flashback to some of the issues that Kehlani has had with the mom, which, you know, again, after seeing those clips again, that Asuelu's mom told her, I don't care about your kids. Asuelu needs to give me money. And then when Kehlani is watching her, like, do FaceTime, it's like, why are we doing FaceTime with her? She just says she doesn't even care about these kids.
Yeah, this all happened last season, and it was ugly, to say the least, about it. Basically, Asuelu's mom is under the belief that her son must always be providing for the family being her, the siblings, mm-hmm. as the boy in the family. And obviously, Kehlani has control of a lot of the money because a lot of the money comes from her family. So she was like, I'm not giving you money. We're not letting him give you money. And then there was almost a fist fight with Tammy, the sister, who we didn't get to see this episode. But I was surprised. I think the biggest thing, Rob, is that Asuelu wants to reconcile with his mom, wants his mom in his world, does not want his sister in his world anymore. So he's willing to work with her. And maybe the whole, it was like, oh, it was a heated moment. That's why I said, I don't care about the kids. I actually do care about the kids. I don't know. Ultimately, it's the grandmother, right? And they want grandma to see the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that Asuelu's mom really is a piece of work.
Oh, yeah. It's very interesting, the relationship they have and the opinion she puts out there, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Like obviously a lot of it is seated within their culture, their upbringing. Like they were a big family, so they expect a big family. Like both my parents came from big families. Like each of them had about 7 siblings, so they're very big families. At no point have they talked to either myself or my sister about you need big families. They surely didn't. They had mm-hmm. 2 kids. So I think this is just one of those things where it's like, her ways of living that she believes that Asuelu must follow as well. And Asuelu clearly has those beliefs as well because he's trying to push for it too. But I think the point that Kehlani made in the episode about like the economical reason of like, you know, if we have that many kids, we're going to be struggling for money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not something we want to put our kids in, right?
Yeah. And it's a question that I think all families face, which is sort of like in a vacuum. It's like, oh, it would be great to have more kids. But at some point, it's like, well, there's only so many resources. And I think that a big family will tell you, like, well, you figure it out, you know, whatever it is. So you might have 3 kids sleeping in a bedroom and, you know, you get by, you figure it out. But you have to sort of make a decision, like how do you want to live? Like, what is the life that you want to have? And so, yeah, Kehlani's... Asuelu's mom, you know, doesn't want to hear about that. Also, doesn't want to hear about there's no money for her.
Yeah. Again, it's a lot of things that are happening at once, and clearly all of them can't happen. If you want money for you, there cannot be any more children. Mm-hmm. If you want the children, they cannot be. He can't do both. And also, Asuelu's job at this point officially is rideshare. And rideshare, you make as much as you put into it. And he clearly hasn't been able to drive for the last month. So money's tight as is for all this other like stuff to come in. It's wishful thinking, of course. Like we wish we could have all the things and not have the financial side be a burden, but sadly it is a burden and it is a problem.
Yeah. And I liked what Azuela's mom had to say about, she just said, basically, like, have, you know, that old Samoan saying of like, have a big family because some kids will turn out good and some will turn out bad.
It's like a good old 50-50. Like, yeah. You never know.
Yeah. You never know. So basically, it's like, you know, get more draft picks because it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. I mean, if my mom said something like that to me, my first question would be, am I part of the good batch or the bad batch? And who's part of the bad batch? Let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're saying this, there's a ranking. I would like to know the ranking, please.
Okay. So the other big headline from this was that, so apparently Asuelu's mom is in the United States with Asuelu's sister, and then they're going to come visit again before Asuelu's mom goes back to Samoa.
Right. So Asuelu's mom is going to Samoa, I believe, for the holidays, but would like to see Asuelu, Kalani, and the grandchildren before she leaves.
Yes.
And the only way she can get there is if Tammy drives her over there.
I liked also that she referred to Christmas as that she is going to be celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus.
Yeah. That was the way she put it. Yeah.
That is a very formal way of describing it.
Yeah.
So, and Asuelu's like, yeah, no problem. Sure. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, Asuelu, this is where you talk to Kalani first. You do not just agree to this and then say it later. But to be fair to him, Kalani did the exact same thing when Kolini was going to come move in with them. And she was like, okay, cool. I'll tell him when you get here. So
you think this is all foreshadowing for the story?
I mean, if it wasn't, it's damn good editing.
Yeah.
It happened to both of them.
Yeah. But Kalini does not seem to be as like toxic of a situation as Swelu's mom and sister.
Kalini's gotten better. Like Kalini, there's never been an incident where Kalini was like going to get physical and, you know, throw down or anything. But they've had their problems. It seems like they've put it all behind them based on what we've seen on the season. But I will say Kalini and Tammy had a big verbal blow on the reunion last season. So the idea of those two seeing each other does scare me, but it will make for good TV. So brace yourself for that one.
Okay. All right. And now let's finally talk about Tiffany and Ronald.
Let's go to South Africa.
All right. It's Christmas time in South Africa, and we are going to go and get some decorations and a tree. And Tiffany is like, well, why are we spending so much money again? And Ronald is like, I have to spend the money to say that my son wants a good Christmas. But I just found this to be kind of icky from Ronald, where this was like very like emotionally manipulative. Like kids get so goo-goo gaga crazy over anything Christmas. And so Daniel especially seems to love decorations, and we're going to go to the store, we're going to buy all this stuff and get Daniel all the stuff to decorate for Christmas. And then like Ronald is banking on the fact like Tiffany won't take him away from this.
Right. Which is a good bank. It's evil, but it's a good assumption to make. You're literally bringing this kid to Santa's workshop and making him see everything. And it's very clear that, because like, you know, I mean, I grew up in a world where Christmas wasn't a big part of the yearly holidays, growing up in a Muslim country. However, I've seen enough TV, movies, and know enough people who celebrate it to know what an important time of year it is.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear a kid say that it's not in the Christmas spirit, that kid loves Christmas. That kid loves Christmas so much. And you are putting this kid in an impossible situation where you're like, here, pick anything you want and we will get it. If you give a kid carte blanche like that, the kid will take the carte blanche. And then we go further. So there's the battle of the trees. There's a bigger tree that looks very nice that immediately they're drawn to. And Tiffany goes, that's a lot of money. Let's get this smaller tree. This one looks like it has lights already. It's built in. That's fine. We'll get this one. And then here comes more manipulation from Ronald, where he tells Daniel, okay, my boy, look, would you like the big tree or this little tree that looks like asparagus? Which one would you like?
Yeah, you pick.
Mm-hmm. And he's putting Tiffany in an impossible situation because Tiffany doesn't want to be the bad guy. Like she's literally the Grinch if she says anything here. So she goes, you can pick whichever one you want. We'll support your decision. And Daniel says, I'm picking this big tree. And then in the confessional, it was so cute. Daniel says, I'm sorry, Mom, but I had to pick it. I had to pick the big tree. So the big tree gets picked. Rob, total cost. So this is somewhere where I'm going to ask your expertise.
Yes.
Because I've had one Christmas celebration and it was during quarantine, so we didn't do much for it. Is $680 a lot of money to spend on Christmas decor?
Yes. That is an insane amount of money to spend on Christmas decorations. Now, I don't know if it's hard to get an artificial Christmas tree in South Africa, and maybe you're paying a bit of a premium, but that is like an insane amount of money to spend on Christmas decorations. If Tiffany had married me, she would be in the position of that she would be the good cop, and I would say, hey, what if we just don't even have a Christmas tree? What if we printed out one on the internet and we colored it in and then put it on the refrigerator with a magnet? I mean, that's Christmas, right?
Yeah, that's a
she would be the good guy. She would be good cop.
Oh, yeah. She'd be the best and you would be the biggest villain known to man with that printout. Yeah. I mean, so all of this happens. And from the beginning, his motives were clear. I want them to stay for Christmas. If I get all this stuff, they won't leave. And you know what? He's kind of right. If I'm Tiffany now, this man has spent $700 on Christmas decorations. I am the worst person on the planet if I just up and leave. I seem to be the worst. He literally, and he puts it on his credit card, like, oh, I have my card. Don't worry. But you got to pay that off at some point. Now you're in debt over Christmas. Like, of course she's not going to leave him high and dry.
And we haven't even bought any presents yet.
I know. And like you spent the, but I feel like kids would, I don't know. If it was me, I'd rather get presents than have the.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like Daniel is hip to how the whole process works. I think it's like, okay, well, we just have to get the setup. Santa's going to come in and take care of the presents.
Yeah, right. Oh, God, I forgot about the part where. Santa's doing it all.
All we have to do is pay for the decorations. Santa's got the rest in his toy shop.
It's an all-inclusive situation. You just get the decorations, everything else comes.
You set up the workstation and then Santa's going to come in and deliver. All right. Tiffany and Ronald are going to go with Ronald's mom to go to some sort of elephant sanctuary. I mean, this did seem like a pretty cool outing.
Yeah, it was like some kind of a tour, but I think I only saw elephants. I don't know if there were any other animals there, but they got to interact with the elephants, basically.
Do you think mom was footing the bill for this trip to the elephant sanctuary?
I think it was mom's ticket of admission. It's like, hey, let's go here. I'll pay. They're like, okay, we'll go. Sounds good. I do think mom foot the bill on this one for sure.
Okay. For sure. And so Tiffany seemed a little perturbed that Ronald seemed to be like a different person. The same guy who doesn't want to change a diaper was coming off a little too good as dad in front of his own mom.
Hey, it's the performance. Sometimes when you're on the stage, you're going to do and say all the right things. And then when you're not, you're not. And it's very clear that he put all his energy into this one outing and seemed to be the best at it, which is a very poor thing of him to do, because then you're showing that you can do this. So there's no excuse for Ronald. Not that I'm advocating for Ronald, but I'm just saying. This was a blunder if his objective was to not do anything.
Well, then Ronald is going to be off doing stuff with the kids. And so Tiffany has some one-on-one time with Ron's mom and says, actually, like, he's doesn't do anything. He's not part of our circle. And that I want to leave. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And his spending habits aren't great. Yeah, which I think the Ron's mom kind of in the confessional comes to defense of her son of like she might be expecting a little too much. He's gone from an internet dad to like a in-person dad, but then decides, let me help out with the reconciliation. Maybe they just need time together. So she offers up to take the kids for a sleepover and leave Ronald and Tiffany with a night on the town for them two to just be together without the kids.
Yeah. That's nice. This seems like I wish somebody would do this for me.
Rob, if I lived in your neck of the woods, I would definitely hang out with Dom and Anthony so that y'all can go out and hang out.
Oh, sure. Well, Puya, that would be awesome. That could lead to a squishy.
Could lead to a squishy. Yeah, we just play Mario Kart and y'all do your thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that would be fantastic. I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, let's figure out a way to make that happen. But yes.
So would you, again, I'm going to keep asking questions because you are the parent on the panel here. Did you like the squishy as a way to explain some activities?
We're getting real close to the real thing. I think at that point, I kind of feel like just give up the game at that point.
I know, especially, you know, us having gone through the Jersey Shore timeline, smush, squishy, same thing, pretty much. Like, you're really not going far with this. I feel like let's be honest, I think Daniel seems very smart for his age. So I think Daniel will kind of figure it out without you saying this phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the squishy was like a special kiss. I'm not sure if it's with your private parts. If you want to have a special kiss many times, that's how a baby happens. So that's what Asuelu is hoping for.
Mm-hmm. He wants a squishy.
And Kehlani does not.
No. Anti-squishy.
So, yeah. Anyway, but if Ronald was hoping for a squishy, I think he really fumbles the bag here on date night.
Yeah. None of this conversation is ever going to lead to squishy. If anything, it's going to lead to icky. Because Ronald cannot let it go that his mom and his wife have an open line of communication where they talked about kind of the struggles of the relationship. He was very mad about this. And to the point where Ronald does this thing where he just, shout out to 90 Day Fiancé, the people on it, and telling strangers personal things. But at the date, Tiffany gets a drink. She doesn't like the drink. Tells the waitress, hey, I don't really like this drink. Do you have anything else I can potentially drink? I'm like, yeah, we'll bring you a vodka, passion fruit. She said, oh, thank you. And then Ronald calls her what? Difficult?
Difficult.
And like, he doesn't do it with like that jokey smile, kind of like dad jokey thing that you
like. He seemed very sincere. Like, you're embarrassing me. Just drink it. Just leave it.
Yeah. Again, that's not good. That's a bad foot to you already were coming into some awkwardness. You're making it worse for yourself.
Like, yeah,
it's not good.
No, Ronald is a brutal date, and he did not need to do this. Like, you have one night here with Tiffany, first night in a year. Like, let her have the drink she wants, sir.
Yeah, haven't you not done enough right already? Just let her, like, you just let her enjoy herself. She has to put up with your nonsense all the live long day. And again, everything Ronald did here, I've seen happen before, right? She's trying to give him some criticism on how she doesn't feel like he's doing enough. He gets defensive. She tells him he's getting defensive. He gets more defensive. It's a mess. It just feels like Ronald wants the red carpet rolled out for everything he's done. But Tiffany's saying, that's good, but we still need to do more to get further. Right. And we're not where we need to be at the moment. It's just, it's, I can see it. He can't see it.
Yeah. I mean, to sort of like, encapsulate where this relationship is, where, you know, he will like do one positive thing. Like, he takes like one step forward, but they're miles behind where they need to be. And so he'll mm-hmm. take one step forward and he'll be like, look at this. I painted the room, or we went to go look at the elephants today. She's like, yeah, but like, where is the like safety net for this family? I said, oh, come on. You complain about everything.
Yeah. Like, he's still caught up on the fact that he made this room from scratch and he wants recognition for it. Like, mm-hmm. and I think that's the biggest thing with, you know, this relationship. I don't think Ronald quite understands that you can't stop and recognize and celebrate every little thing. You gotta keep building until you're in a stable place. Then you can look back at everything you've done to get to that place. Ronald, come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you know, he wants like pats on the back, like every time like he scores a touchdown. But Tiffany's like, well, the score of the game is we're down 600-32.
Yeah. We need a lot more touchdowns before we can start mm-hmm. celebrating these. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then so he walks out of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Not great. Then, you know, you brought Tiffany to this country and then you're going to like get up and leave her there.
That's some awful moves right there. Because did we see him drive off, or he just went outside?
I thought he got in like a car.
Okay.
I didn't think he was driving like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there was not enough happened there to warrant him storming off. So that was just over-exaggerated from his part.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, not great for Tiffany and Ronald. And I'm sure that they will patch things up. But, you know, these two, I just can't see where it's going to work out.
I think ultimately with them, they're going to keep in this roundabout place. She'd inevitably ask for a divorce. He'll say she's giving up, put it on her, and say that he doesn't want it. Like, the only way Ronald can have this relationship exist is if he makes her the villain and he is the martyr. Mm-hmm. That's really the only way. And that's not.
Yeah, I tried. I built a room. I took them to go see elephants. I bought a Christmas tree and it was never enough for her. So, you know, what are you going to do? And again, they have a baby. It's not like that, you know, some of these other relationships, which like comparatively Mike and Natalie or like some of these other couples, it's like, okay, they should just split up and not be together. But now this is a lot more complicated.
It is. And I mean, we've seen the way
once you squish,
lifetime wish. I don't know. Does that rhyme? That works, right?
It rhymes. Yeah.
It does, yeah. Okay, so the thing for me is that when it comes to Ronald, we've seen him not put in the 100% when it came to that mock interview they did. And it sounds like he kind of doesn't care about coming to the U.S. He wants them to be with him in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But then I don't think there's enough there to hold. Like, the man literally put Christmas decorations on his credit card, meaning the bank account is dry otherwise. And this is decoration. This isn't weekly food, weekly housing, schooling. So they're down bad. Like, they need more, and they can't have that. It's just to focus on it as like a she's stealing me from my kids is bad and villainous, because factually you can't sustain a living there at the moment. So I just don't know what to say about it. We just have to wait and see where they go, because next week she's gonna break the news that Kalani broke to Asuelu, which is, I saw a divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to take it as well as Asuelu did.
No, he's not going to take it particularly well, because I think that Asuelu is hurt and Ronald is going to be like, what? How could you do this to me? Like, I'm a great dad. You don't appreciate me.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, Puya, that's another week of 90 Day Fiancé.
In the books, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
So I miss 90 Day Fiancé when it's not on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So this was the first week 90 Day Fiancé was back during the Big Brother season. We got a Sunday night Big Brother recap that we're doing. So we had talked about this from the beginning of the season, but at some point I was going to scale back my involvement with 90 Day Fiancé. And so I still plan to watch. I want to still talk about the show, but I'm not going to be a weekly contributor on the podcast moving forward.
Which is more than fair, Rob. When it comes to Big Brother, the summer gets very busy. You compound the Big Brother with your Survivor rankings countdown.
The top 40 countdown.
A lot of content. Yeah. That's right. And then other engagements. Like, you got a lot on your plate. Allow me to take some off your plate, but then you can also have it on your plate whenever you want it. So I already have someone lined up for next week.
Yeah.
Confirmed. Sasha Joseph will be coming here to talk all 90 Day.
One of the best.
Week. Oh, yeah. One of the best. Host of the newly covered show on the network, which is Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. So that'll be lovely. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about all the mess here. And Rob, as always, your seat is open and you are always welcome back whenever. Because I know, here's the thing. I know you enjoy the show. So I know it's not like a...
I have to see what's going on with Elizabeth and Andre.
Exactly.
And it's one of the few shows that Nicole and I watch together. So that's going to be, even if I don't watch it right when it comes on, then I still want to listen to the podcast. And so we'll have all week to catch up.
Yeah. And we will have you covered for the podcast too. So it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Puya, what's next for you?
Aside from 90 Day stuff, Big Brother is in full swing, obviously. So I will be talking Big Brother live feed updates at the very least on Friday mornings with Taryn Armstrong. So that'll be going down. And then I also still will be streaming three times a week on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Puya.
Okay. Do you have set times and dates?
I do. So I stream Friday nights at 11 p.m. It's our late night show.
Late night.
That's right. Sundays during Big Brother season, we do Among Us, but we're moving it to 2 p.m. Eastern so that we do not clash with the Big Brother episodes and subsequently the podcast the recaps that'll happen right after. So we'll be done like from 2 to 6 kind of during the Big Brother season. And then I go live on Tuesdays as well. That's a little bit more fluid. 5 p.m. start, 7 p.m. start. And then lately, Rob, I've started playing Mario Kart weekly with Peridium,
which has been
a fun experience.
That's wild.
I know, right? We like the last couple of weeks, we've been playing on Mondays for a couple hours. We've been chopping it up, talking Big Brother stuff that's been going on. So it'll be fun. That's fun as well.
Okay. Well, what do you do? Like a Grand Prix?
Yeah. So So basically, I'll make a lobby on the Mario Kart and then we'll open it up to the audience. So it's me, Peridium, and the chat. And we throw down. It's been good training for me because
what do you play on the Switch?
So much better. Yeah. Yeah. On the Switch.
Mm hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what day? That's on Mondays? That's today?
That's today. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What time did you do that at?
5 p.m.
Okay. All right. That's getting pretty close to the slot. Otherwise, I could hop in there.
Ooh. Okay. Maybe we'll make arrangements so that you can join up one time.
Yes. Okay. Although, yeah. I got to be honest, I do not know how to join a public lobby of Mario Kart.
I'll send you detailed instructions. I got your back.
Yeah. Okay. And while we're at it, see if you could help me with that my kids watched a YouTube video about how to get it to be a mod for Luigi's Odyssey.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do the research.
And they're
on
like,
that and
Dad, can you buy this? I'm like, that it's a mod. I don't know how to do it.
I'll look into it.
They don't understand. They don't understand. All right. Well, Puya, this was great to talk some 90 Day Fiance with you, of course, that we've got so much Big Brother going on right now. I will have the slop today with Jenny on. I'm talking about all the nonsense, not 90 Day Fiance, but from the world of Big Brother. And there's always plenty of slop there. Always good eating on Big Brother on Monday nights. Plus, we'll have our 12th best season of Survivor of all time. That's Survivor Millennials versus Gen X coming to the podcast on Tuesday. So hope you will join us for all of that. We also discovered on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, we had a tournament for Rob's biggest fan. We had Akiva's biggest stan. We found Rob's biggest fan on the latest Robin Akiva Need a Podcast on another wild episode of Renap. All right. So thank you so much for joining us. And of course, next week, be sure to follow the 90 Day Fiancé podcast feed or our wrap-ups feed to hear our coverage of 90 Day Fiancé happily ever after. That's at robiswebsite.com/90Day Fiancé. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.